What's up? What's up? Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of If You Know, the show for Web3 creators and enthusiasts. I'm your host, Belle, and each week I'm joined by Web3 experts to bring you the latest trends, opportunities, and perspectives from the creators who are shaping the future of technology and art. If you have never joined the show, then you know that I just started live streaming and I already screwed it completely up by forgetting that I'm supposed to start the stream right at this point. So I'm starting it right now, guys. I'm doing this whole new thing that I'm trying to go live. There we go. All right. We are now live. You have your choice of either listening to us here or going to watch us on the stream. I think that we should be already good to go. We're about to be. I promise. We're about to be. There we go. Okay. Hello, guys. Let me start this all over again. Welcome back to another episode. I'm super excited to have you here. Join us. If this is your first time joining us, we do the show live on X every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can also find us on all of your favorite streaming platforms. Joining us today, I honestly did not do this purposely. And when I had you both on, I realized that there's a really cool connection between both of you that you probably don't even realize. First, I'm going to ask you on the audio purposes of it, make sure that you're muting your phone so that it doesn't, like, we don't get two audios on here. But Mumbot and Neuro, welcome to the show. Did you both know, Mumbot, we're going to start with you. Did you guys know that you both have like a ghost associated to your brands? That is so crazy to me that you come from completely different sides of Web3 and you both have something that like your brand includes something that has to do with ghosts. Literally, you both have it in your profile. So introduce yourself and then I know it's weird. It's so cool though. It turned out perfect. Mumbot, how are you?
I'm good. Hi, everybody. I didn't know that. That is really cool. That's funny.
Yeah.
What is that? Is that guy a ghost? The floating head guy?
No, but he's going to get into it. Neuro, what is it?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Am I getting weird? Yeah. But there's an echo. So make sure that you put your phone, like talk to us on the stream instead of on your phone. Mute your phone.
Yeah, for some reason, perfect. I'm not. Is this any better?
Yeah.
Okay, for some weird reason, I'm not getting audio on my speakers. Let me see. Hang on one second. I'm so sorry. Let's see.
No problem.
Is this causing an echo?
No, that's also good.
Okay.
You're talking through spaces? Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking through spaces. So hopefully, yeah. I don't know. We'll see if it works.
Have that made?
Thank you. Yes. Had it made.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, sorry. Can you hear me now?
It's cool to see people.
Mumbot, can you hear Neuro?
Can you hear me?
I can hear.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
No, I
can't. No, you can't hear him.
You can't hear me? Okay. I don't know what's going on my computer. Let me see. Okay, you guys carry on for a second. I'll try to sort this out.
Okay. And before we carry on, I want to say I had to update the link for today's show. We actually had a lot of RSVPs that were going to come on. And I don't think that they are getting the reminders now because I had to update that. So if I could ask everybody to please retweet so it can hit back on the algorithm, that would be amazing. Amazing. While Neuro is getting all of the, you know, technology set up, Mumbot, I want to start just talking to you and reintroducing you. And I want to say that I've been following you for a really long time and I heard you speak at a conference in New York. I want to say in 2021, I think is when it was. And you were so smart and so on it. And I know that you've been in NFTs for a minute now. I would consider you an OG in the space. So, you know, what is your brand about? Who are you? Why do you do what you do?
And I gotta tell you, I was like completely blown away by that that show that day. What? I mean, I was like running an errand or something. So I had it on in my car. And then I was like, I couldn't get out of the car until this whole show was over because it was so good.
Thank you.
I feel like if anybody hasn't heard that one, go back and listen to it. It's epic. Super inspiring. But yeah, about me. Well, I'm an artist and I am also I'm in like a transitional phase, I feel like. Well, I feel like artists are always in transitional phases, but I guess I'm kind of known for my 2D art and also my physicals, Mumbot World brand, and I make plush, I make toys, and also I am the founder of Ghost Club, international creative community.
You also did podcasts, right?
I do. Yes. I have a Ghost Coffee podcast. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is really something that I absolutely enjoy doing. And I have 4 episodes that I have to get cracking. They're done. They're like recorded and then they're amazing. And I have to get cracking on at some point. That's, I don't know how people do it like every week. I can't even imagine.
It's hard.
Yeah, respect.
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's hard, but you know, it's worth every second.
Totally. And what I was going to say too is one reason that's so important is that you're giving a platform to people to talk about all the things that they're building and doing, both behind the scenes and, you know, the front facing stuff. But like, you know, being able to get into the nitty gritty in a conversational way is huge. Right. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that one. Neuro, let me check with you and see if we got it figured out.
Yeah, I think we're good. Can you guys hear me? Yes. Yeah. All right. Then. Yeah. This guy was causing problems back there. But yeah, the ghost connection, I guess we could dive into that. It'll probably come up naturally, but so happy to be here. And thanks for having me.
Of course. Super happy to have you join us. I was introduced to Neuro on another space that I do called NFA. We partner with NFT Now and with Ninja Alerts. And Neuro came on to talk about the ordinal drop that he is working on right now. But the project itself is one of those like, whoa, where did that even come from? And how did it even connect the dots? So I want to give you an opportunity, Neuro, to introduce yourself. And, you know, if you want to dive into it right now or of course it'll start coming up, you know, but share with us right now who you are.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Phil. So my name is Neuro. Comes from my love for the brain and all things kind of experimenting with reality and psych and finding kind of cool experiences through art. So I guess my background's a little atypical. So I'm a science person. I was in medicine, and then, you know, the medical system kind of like failed me personally and my family. A lot of people were told that there's just no treatments for them with cancer. My brother had bipolar. I've dealt with something on the mood spectrum as well. And this was in like 2015 where I said, like, what's the point in devoting my life to this field where, you know, I'm not getting any of the kind of help and care for my own family. So somehow, crazily enough, I kind of fell into the crypto rabbit hole in Bitcoin at that time. I was kind of into this idea of, you know, Ethereum as this world computer, and this idea, could we like build out a better medical system? Can we build out like better ways to do research like on chain and fix some of the problems I was dealing with? And I was kind of just doing a bunch of research, doing like work in AI and kind of like broadly into decentralized research in the crypto space. Kind of making art on the side until 2020, and that's when my brother passed away. And I was like, all right, this is, you know, we had just had a beautiful baby girl, and, you know, I just got married, and I was like, all right, I need to kind of step back, and this is my time to dive into the neuropsych world fully. And so at that time, I kind of enjoyed the, you know, the bull run in 2021 and all that, and just was in the space loosely, just collecting, kind of experimenting with stuff. But it wasn't until Ordinals came out and that I learned about it almost exactly 1 year ago, a little more than a year ago. And I went to the the meetup with Casey in Oakland, and you know, along with a lot of other folks who were there. And it just it just really clicked that I didn't know exactly how I wanted to do it, but I knew that ordinals were the space in which I wanted to experiment with these crazy ideas I had about channeling my experiences, like accelerating research for cancer patients, creating communities. But I wanted to do it on ordinals, but for the neuropsych space. And so since then, basically been committed to trying to build out the technology and experiment with different art through a community project we created called Cypherpunk Lab, where we build technology for artists. And so spent a lot of this past year, you know, really learning and honestly, like teaching myself how to code and trying to get to a point where I could like experiment on Bitcoin ordinals with the kind of art I wanted to create. And so that is where I got to the neural realm. And the neural realm is this cool kind of neural generative art project. And so I paint these masks. Like this is one of the masks. I paint all these physical masks that are inspired by the cypherpunks movement. And then I digitize them. And I have inscribed my brain data on Bitcoin. So I wear this like open BCI EEG cap. And so my brain data is on Bitcoin, and I use it to like glitch out this art. So I have all these different pieces where like this, there's a piece with this mask that's titled I'm Golden, where it kind of glitches out every time, you know, I blinked my eyes. And so I'm kind of using this neural generative art to experiment with like this idea of what is the mind? What is reality? Can we interface, you know, with Bitcoin in some interesting way, because, you know, there's my brain data that is living on Bitcoin. So it's like, is that a brain on Bitcoin? Because of what it's doing is like each time it's blinking, you know, there's, I'm kind of sampling that data. And every time it detects a blink, like this art glitches out. So the neural realm is basically this, it's just definitely pretty unique experiment, I think, where the core of it was this idea that like, no matter where we're all at in life, I believe that, you know, we can use art to kind of power ourselves up, even if we don't feel like we're capable of it. We can like put on a cap. And so this EEG cap, like I'm working on to be able to take your brain data and actually make it generate art just by wearing this cap. And so we do in-person events. I have this studio and gallery space in San Francisco, and we're kind of expanding to all sorts of other places. But the neural realm is this cool art kind of collective, this neurofeedback technology I'm building, and just a community of people that want to experiment with hacking the mind, making art, and just kind of coming around to support each other.
That's awesome. It's so incredibly different. Why ordinals? Why on Bitcoin?
It's a great question. I think Bitcoin was how I got into, you know, the blockchain space back in kind of 2013-ish, a little bit later. And you know, when I met Casey and the other community at the Ordinals meetup, it just kind of clicked that like this opportunity to do something that's like truly on chain with Ordinals, plus the ability to actually shape like the Ordinals protocol itself. And, you know, like my co-founder of Cypherpunk Lab, Elok, is one of the top contributors to the protocol, and some of the technology and things he's introduced, like recursion and these recursive endpoints, Markdown, are exactly the kinds of things that I wanted to be able to do this art, to be able to write articles, to be able to link, you know, even research, to be able to like, you know, basically what I'm doing is there's an art piece, but like anybody now going forward is going to have an opportunity to record their own brain data. And then as a, you know, through this parent-child link, the child of that inscription will actually be the brain data. And so you can like through your own brain customize this art. And so I think Ordinals kind of was this opportunity to experiment and create this kind of technology that, you know, enables all of the things I kind of want to do and put the brain on Bitcoin.
Mumbat, have you looked at the Ordinals side of NFTs?
I have, yeah. And it's cool that you're using recursion, because I thought that's pretty interesting, just expanding upon what you can do. I kind of love the idea of art on Bitcoin, because it's like the OG chain. But like, you know, I definitely have my questions, and there's a reason why I haven't done it yet. So, but I'm, you know, it's just like, I'm curious about what are the real actual best ways to put art on Bitcoin.
Like, if it's the best way or how to do it.
Like the, sorry, there's a phone ringing in my house. Oh. I just have certain questions, I guess. Like, you know, from the research that I was doing, it's like, you know, one of the other layers, something like that.
It's interesting. So Bitcoin, like each Satoshi, by the way, Casey's kind of designed it, like each Satoshi has a number and is a canvas, you know? So like there are different ways to think about that. Like you could have, if you inscribe on the first side of a block, it's called an uncommon, but you know, there's this whole like rarity idea that is definitely really cool, but it's not like, it's something you have to do, you know? It's like, I think for me, if it fits into the story of what I'm trying to do, it's really cool. Like I, you know, like you can basically, I just think of it like a canvas, and it's like if, you know, I don't know, if I wanted to paint on, you know, like a wood canvas and there was like a tree or something, you know, that was from a certain time. So getting that particular canvas or like a metal that I, you know, wanted to paint on or something, that's kind of how I think about like this whole rarity and like the sats, but it's not like, it's not something that's like, you know, you have to think about it. I think you can just kind of inscribe, your art. I think like one of the main things that I think is, you know, the value prop, I guess, or proposition is like, if you believe that it's valuable to preserve, things on Bitcoin, you know, I think like it kind of boils down to that. Like if it's cool to preserve your art or to put art on Bitcoin in some way, that makes it really neat. And then the second is like, if you want to like experiment and create like new tech or something to enable new types of experiences like recursion or like do on-chain publishing or like hyperlinks or stuff like on Bitcoin, then Ordinals is a protocol that kind of lets you do that.
That's like the equivalent of like IPFS on ETH, right?
Yeah, I guess you know, one of the key differences that with IPFS, that's like a you know, kind of a different storage mechanism that's not inherent or like on Ethereum itself, but with Bitcoin, with Ordinals, you know, it's actually on chain. Like the data that is inscribed is on Bitcoin. So if like an Amazon server goes down or whatever, your art's not going to go away. As long as Bitcoin is around, it's going to be there. The Ordinals protocol are kind of like those 3D glasses you wear when you go into like a movie. It's like you everybody who puts on these glasses and like through the lens of the Ordinals protocol can see the art, like it's there, it's like etched, but like maybe it's like, you know, only visible if you're kind of using the Ordinals protocol, and people can, you know, fork it, or like the Ordinals protocol I think is gonna, you know, exist in for a long time as well, but it's like kind of that layer that like the data is on Bitcoin, and then the way to view that data is through the Ordinals protocol.
The other thing that I'll add to that is, as it relates to like, does it have to be on an early sat or on what kind of a sat? So when it first came out, there was the deal that if you were one of the earliest inscribers, right, so like 10K and below, then it's that much more of a value just because it's a lot sooner. That narrative has changed a little bit. And so has the narrative on like, if it's more worth it to do an uncommon versus, you know, a common one, or the other types of ordinals that there are. So a pizza and all these other kinds that there are. As time progresses, and a lot of those are either taken, or just even the idea of whether it's you know, whether it's a lot more valuable than just a regular one, the narrative of that has changed. And I think that it's more accepted just period now that if you are inscribing on an ordinal, just the fact that it is on Bitcoin and just the fact that it is, you know, on that blockchain, then that's enough. What would you say about that, Neuro, from an artist perspective?
You can't shit on the degens. Degens got a degen, right? No, in all seriousness, I think it's like, it's part of the beauty of the space, right? Like it's the culture. Like we just, you know, got to admit, like there, it's still a speculative situation, mm-hmm. right? And I think that this aspect, you know, I think was a really cool thing that Casey kind of seeded initially, as like, there are fundamental properties of Bitcoin. Like every time a block comes out, the first sat of it, you know, could be interesting, or like the
when there's at the halving or like things like that, you know, that's where those rarity terms come from. It's like these kind of different interesting events that happen on Bitcoin. And, you know, he kind of put that out there and people thought that was interesting. Totally. Like, I think early on it was a big thing because there was a lot of like, people didn't know what is ordinals, like what's it capable of, but like, hey, there's this like stuff that's rare or whatever. So just like go for it. I think now it's definitely matured where you can't just like put something that's total crap on like a supposedly rare sat and people think it's cool. Like nobody really cares, you know? I think it's really cool in that way where I think artists have a lot of the power and people who want to experiment authentically to tell their story and to have it work with their art, I think makes it really powerful. So like for me, for whatever reason, nines throughout my life just show up a lot, like our anniversary, my, you know, birthdays and stuff. And so I kind of played with that number. Like there are nine realms that I play with, like the physical, mental, spiritual, etc. And so for me, it was kind of cool to play with and inscribe, you know, my piece of work on these block nine sats, which, you know, block nine is the first block of Bitcoin that it was actually released into circulation. The previous ones before that are still in Satoshi's wallet. So for me, like that was kind of fun and cool. You know, I don't, I don't necessarily like my first post. It was like, I happened to do, I think the first one, the first like parent child set of pieces that were on block nine sats and that were not, you know, cursed. So that was cool to share that. But like, it's not something I like lead with, you know. It's like, it's a cool thing. Like it's fun. But I think, you know, it just adds to the art. You know, like a lot of my pieces in that way. Yeah. Like I just kind of incorporate the sats as a canvas in ways that make sense. Like if there's a name or something that's appealing or a timestamp, but I think a lot of artists are kind of looking at things in that way, that it's more like, how does this relate to the story? And how does it actually make the art like meaningful, you know?
Yeah, I get that part of it. I guess I'm just like more so focused on like what's the actual like best, most sustainable thing to do. Like I don't want to just throw my stuff out like willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you know, who cares? Like just, you know, it's just really important to me that I know that I'm putting it on the chain, like the correct best way to do it. That's all.
That makes a lot of sense. I think maybe one of the most powerful things about Bitcoin ordinals is on-chain provenance. So this idea of parent-child link. So what you can do is, you know, like in my collection, for example, I have like this, what I call an ancestor. That's just like this abstract piece. And then all my future works or collections or whatever I want descend from this piece. So like everybody can know just by literally going on Bitcoin. They don't have to go on Twitter. They don't have to like do anything else. They can just go to any Ordinals Explorer, which you can even run yourself, and basically just see like, oh, Neuro's work is like from here. So if somebody else is saying like, oh, you know, like if Mumbai, you decide to do something, somebody else is like copying your work, you can be like, no, that's not mine. Like clearly, you know, like it doesn't descend from this chain. And that I think gives a lot of power, because it's cool to think about if we like zoom out, you know, if we believe that, like, you know, I definitely believe Bitcoin is going to be around. I don't know that it'll be around for hundreds or thousands of years, but I'm pretty sure my daughter's going to be able to experience it in 10 or 20 years. And I think it's really cool that like she doesn't need anyone else to explain my art to her, except that she can just go and look at it herself and like what I've written. And like, you know, it doesn't matter what anyone in the future says about it. Like she can just go onto Bitcoin and look and like follow this chain and be like, okay, this is like the body of work, and see like all the different collections. So I think like that on-chain provenance aspect is really, really powerful. And so like maybe that could be a way that you could think about like giving yourself some flexibility, but like you can kind of create like an abstract piece that kind of gives you some flexibility. And then from there, as you're like vibing and feeling it out, you can kind of inscribe some other works, you know, that are just like linked under it. It's kind of cool. I think there's like a big openness to experimentation for sure on ordinals. You know, there's no like right or wrong at this point. It's just like, come and try stuff, you know, and it's going to be awesome if it's like, if, you know, even if like, dude, I think every significant inscription Elok and I did, for this whole year, like in every collection, there was like one stupid typo or like serious issue. Like we made this game that started, and it started out with game over, you know, like we put in all this work and it just like loaded the game over screen. So I think it's kind of a vibe too, that like, it's just, you know, it's experimenting and that's fun.
Can I just chime in? Cause
please,
All right. I loved what you just said. That's like, you know, that's a great way to mindset to have, that to feel like you can experiment and play around in there. And also thank you. You're providing a lot of important information. I feel like that's really helpful to the way you're breaking it down. So I'm totally thinking more about it. The only thing though I want to say is, like, it is hard to just experiment on Bitcoin because it's freaking expensive.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. There are test environments, and that's one thing that I think even like Trevor was very interested in, like, building out better test environments, but there totally are. And you know, there's RegTest, which is, you can just through Bitcoin Core, you know, I could show you, just set up like a whole testing environment where you can just like experiment, do a bunch of inscriptions that way before you ever have to push it to mainnet. So
there's a platform, Gamma. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but Gamma has really stepped forward and like putting art first, fine art. I would say they're kind of leading the way in that right now and have partnered with a lot of different artists from Ethereum to come over to the Bitcoin side and are kind of walking, you know, hand walking them through the experience on that. So happy to connect you with them too, Mombat, if that's something that you're interested in.
Heck yeah. Yeah, yeah. A couple art friends I saw recently did some drops on Gamma. So yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Cool. That's the one to get with right now. Yeah. Super interesting. I want to dive a little bit more into your personal style and you know, provenance for you, right? Right behind you, you have a lot of work, and your style of art, speaking to like when Nuru was saying, a lot of nines incorporated and a lot of different styles. Yours is really vibrant, beautiful, you know, colors behind you. And I was reading a little bit about, you've been doing this for a long time, right? You've been an artist since you were a child, but what has evolved? I'd really love to learn your story of like how you even discovered digital art and why you adopted it as a digital artist, right? And what is it about it that continues to like inspire you to show up every day?
Okay, yeah. Well, I feel like, you know, just one common thread is storytelling. I'm definitely passionate about storytelling and all the different ways to approach it. So, like, you know, from, you know, more illustrative work to animation and film, you know, and everything that I do, I'm like trying to experiment and explore like how to expand the experience of storytelling and how to expand how people experience my characters and my world and the lore. So, you know, whether it's through play. So like actually like the, you know, creation of the toys and the figures, you know, there's like a range of them, right? Like I have, you know, the more accessible pieces, the plush to the toys that I like meticulously and laboriously sitting there hand painting. And then, you know, like my background, I went to school of visual arts in New York City for 2D animation. And actually, I had, you know, all these other courses I was taking that weren't required. I was taking all these side courses. And, you know, some of them were because of, like, I also had a love for, like, digital art. And so I was taking courses that weren't really traditional for my path. And actually, one of the courses I took in college was a flash animation class. And the reason why is actually because since I was about 14 years old, I was introduced to Joshua Davis, PrayStation. He's like a legend in the generative code art realm. And he had this website that had like interactive animation where you would come in and his main page, you could like mess with it and it would react to what you played with. It was very playful and innovative and cool. And I always thought that I would always go back and check out because it was always changing. He was always changing his site. Anyway, long story short, I was in his class and I didn't know he would be the instructor. He just like showed up and was the teacher.
Wow.
And it was like, yeah. And so, you know, fast forward like 20 years later, he's the one who gave me my first foundation invite, which is where I put my Genesis, my solo Genesis NFT. I had another NFT with my collaboration partner, Cyrus James Khan as well. And so, you know, just exploring, like getting into how to do more animation digitally at that time was really helpful to me. Like I had been focused more on my 2D work for sure, and like more traditional work, but also toys and physical goods, 3D, sculptural and whatnot. And then I think it was like pandemic time. And I was like, you know, really like wishing I had more options, you know, to also to monetize, you know, all the things that we do, as artists. And, I just thought that that was such a game changer to have, you know, NFTs just like open that whole pathway up for people of all types of mediums, you know, from photography to filmmaking. And I thought, wow, I was like, there's like this whole other side to me and what I do and what I've loved doing that I haven't been able to really delve into or tap into because, you know, I've kind of had to focus more on things that were collectible, you know, in a sense, you know, and I've always like had the things I do on the side that aren't, you know, there's no financial thing involved. You know, I've always been building like the storyline, the lore, and, you know, I've always had my sketchbooks and I've always had like the experimentation work, but it was like, you know, just knowing like somebody would want like this piece that normally maybe you were using it just to share on social media, like for engagement or something, like maybe this, because it's a piece of art, you know, really is. So anyway, I don't know. I'm lost. I just started talking. And I don't even know. I think there was a question somewhere, but I just.
No, I like the storytelling aspect of it. And I think that answers the question, right? Of why you keep showing up and what interests you and how do you weave it in? Why the ghost?
So there's like a lot of answers to that, but okay, I'll try to do like a summary. Basically, the ghost is in some ways the ghost represents like everyone. And I wanted something that isn't bound by like any specific gender or identification. You know, it's like I wanted something unifying and then that anyone can relate to. And then what better thing than also focusing on like, you know, our mortality and that we all have like a limited amount of time on this planet and what we do with that time, you know, is crucial. And just thinking about that. So like, there's some of that involved in like the content, but also a ghost in general was also a way for me to kind of cross, you know, themes that, are difficult. So I like happen to want to explore like not only, you know, positive, you know, happy things that make you happy and bring joy, but I also want to be able to discuss more difficult things and subject matter and like things that are darker. And that character has just allowed me to do that. And I don't know, not everybody needs these things. Not everybody needs like these contexts to be able to navigate their art or move forward as an artist, but I do. And it's helped me. And it was also one of the earliest characters that I just felt like resonated. Like I was never sick of drawing it. I was just noticing I was including it in things I've had a lot of characters come and go and it stuck. And it's a subject matter that for me will always be relevant. And I noticed it resonated with, it's just resonated with people of all ages, young and old, and people from all backgrounds. So that's been something really cool about it.
I really like that. I think those kind of self reminders, right? I would imagine that every time that you see it, and you remind yourself once again of the vulnerability attached to it. And I think that that's really, really cool. Nuro, you kind of have the same idea, right? With like the genesis of this.
Yeah, totally. It's interesting. One thing I didn't mention was that when we started Cypherpunk Lab a year ago, we started a project called Cypherpunk Ghosts, which the idea was to create art that could tell the story of Bitcoin and the cypherpunks movement. And the cypherpunks movement started in the early 90s with like legends, the Satoshi, Hal Finney, Julian Assange, like all these incredible pioneers in the internet as we know it, you know, privacy, basically preserving human freedom. Like we were like, okay, you know, to tell the story of Bitcoin, we have to start with these, the cypherpunks. And so we kind of came up with this fun art that are the ghosts of the cypherpunks. And it kind of evolved into this idea and kind of what NeuroRealm has become is like, well, what are the ghosts of the past, present, and future, you know, that like that are leaving their story on Bitcoin. And especially for neuropunks, the idea is like, what is the extension of the cypherpunks movement in a world where, you know, Elon has all your brain data and, you know, humans are merged with AI. Like if you have, you know, implants, if you're, you know, even with like the Apple Vision Pro and things like this, there's so much data that's coming from your brain. And it's like, who is controlling this? Like, are you, they can even transmit information faster than your brain can process it. And so it can like intercept your thoughts and like literally, you know, control your mind because you can deliver information faster than your brains can send it. And so the neuropunks are kind of this like extension or what are the ghosts of the future, you know, or the ghosts around freedom of the mind, you know, and that's kind of where the NeuroRealm is playing around with is like, what does it mean to have a free mind in terms of exploration and health, et cetera, in a world where like we already are, I think like Elon says this and I agree with it, we're already cyborgs, you know, like we're on a screen right now, we're always like, you know, using phones, et cetera, and there's like gray matter, you know, atrophy, like your gray matter is like getting destroyed in your brain over time, just looking at screens. And so the ghost vibe is totally there. And I think the masks I like to play with because it's like the masks are this kind of unique way that your brain has so much power to recognize faces, and masks really work your brain in a like very funky way. They like make you, they twist your, you know, masks can make us feel a little bit weird, you know, because they're a little different. And the way I like to play around with it is like, yeah, what are the ghosts or what are the spirits kind of behind the masks, you know, and who, we all wear many different masks in life. But, you know, I like this idea that we're all, you know, going to be ghosts one day in some form in the physical world, you know, and that's kind of where the genesis of my work started too with my late brother. With Vinny, that he's, you know, no longer in the physical realm, but like he's, you know, more than ever in the spiritual and emotional. And so like his ghost and, you know, it's like it's present. Right. And so I think I like that concept for sure that we all have ghosts around us. And like there is a, you know, there's like this kind of, yeah, I guess like ghosts are kind of considered spooky and stuff. But I think ghosts are just, you know, in other ways, like spirits that are with us. And so I really like that aspect of it.
Totally. That's Neuro, so we gotta talk more.
Let's do it. Do some ghost stuff. Yeah. I love your art, by the way. I love the colors and that mushroom. Did you make that mushroom there?
Yes, that's Shumi Mushroomy. And nice. Yeah. Some of this isn't my art. Some of this is my friend's art.
It's all super cool. I had this one idea with a friend about like recording my brain data while on shrooms and using it to like create some mushroomy effect. So I'm actually working on that. So yeah, I mean, totally can, come anybody who wants to record their brain while in crazy situations and make art, like that's the idea is let's do awesome. It.
That's really
I've done
cool.
the brain. I've done the brain yeah. thing. I've Sweet. Done the thing where you wear the thing and yeah I got some like some brain therapy. I actually have a brain injury. I have a permanent brain injury and I was having issues with like short-term memory loss for a couple years. Wow. And I did, I was doing some, this like brain therapy, and it, my brain signals would like affect, like I would have to like watch something and it would affect how I watched it to train my brain.
Totally.
It worked. Wow. It literally, like, I, you know, just consistently did that for, I probably say like a year and a half, and it worked.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. That's exactly the kind of neurofeedback, stuff I'm building too. Like I have a cap that collects the data and a VR, you know, that's like tied to it. That is exactly, it's like modulating based on your thoughts, like what you're seeing. And, it's fun. That's, yeah, I'm glad, cool. Glad it worked. What do you remember what device or what you use for that?
I could probably look it up. I don't remember. But
all good.
That's so interesting. See, I knew there was a good connection between the two of you. Like I knew it. It's so, you know, like I said, it wasn't planned. It just kind of happened. And I thought, you know what, this is a really good one. They both have very similar, you know, ways of thinking, I think. Yeah.
Even hearing neuro, some of the stuff that you're tapping into, I have like, actually I could talk, I don't want to take over about it, but like I have, some art projects I've done that you'd dig.
Sweet. That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah, let's definitely talk more about it. And Belle, you're the best for connecting us.
Thank you. Yes, of course.
This all happened. You're totally involved, or welcome to join this like brain ghost powwow too. Anybody else who's listening, like for sure.
I know, appreciate it. No, I appreciate awesome. It. I want to ask you both, and by the way, I'm gonna Neuro has been very kind to give out three spots for the new project and entering the neuro realm. And so that's going to be really cool. So what we're going to ask from everybody is to comment down on the bottom right-hand corner, comment something about what this project means to you. Like, what does the neuro realm mean to you? And then Neuro is going to be picking three people from there, hopefully either by the end of this or like right after. Is that right, Neuro? Right after.
Totally. Why don't we each pick one?
Oh yeah. There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
So type it down at the bottom and that'll be a really good idea. We can each pick one. And if anybody has any questions, now's the time. Start raising up your hand. I'll bring you up on the stage and let's get some questions in here. Until then, Mumbot, I want to ask you, what do you have going on for 2024? What does the year look like for you?
Oh yeah. So a ghostess, my ghost, who can you see? A ghostess?
Yes.
There's a physical plush in space. Well, actually, today they undocked from, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Axiom Space, but that's how I kicked off my 2024. And it's actually been really cool to be a part of this project. It's called Space Grails. And it was myself, Snowfro, Jordan Lyle,
wow.
Richard Z Photos, Dr. Cyan Proctor, Dave Krugman, and Amber Vittoria. We all were a part of Space Grails, and we basically created artwork, and were allowed to have a physical component that actually went up in space on the AX3 mission. Which is the first all European commercial space flight. And it has been up in space for 2 weeks and literally just undocked this morning from the International Space Station. So it will be splashing down in 2 days. So that's what I have going on right this second. But then I have a few other projects that I'm working on. I have a solo show coming up in July in California at UHF Gallery. And I have another one in the Philippines coming up in September. Five Points Festival. That's in New York. I'm a part of that. That'll be really fun. And, you know, I have stuff that I can't really talk about that I'm doing, but I share everything in my Discord and I share everything there first, and then I share it usually across my socials if anybody wants to check out other things I have going on.
That's awesome. That is so different, right? What was it? Space Link? Is that what it is?
Space Grails.
Space Grails.
It's pretty epic.
That's awesome.
I'm pretty sure I can say Agostis is the first ghost in space.
Congratulations. So yeah, that's super, super cool. Very cool.
Simon Proctor and that whole, that's awesome. They're so cool.
So inspiring.
Yeah.
Super inspiring. Yeah, I got to go to the launch. I got to hang out with a bunch of them. And just Dr. Proctor, she like drove us around. She was like driving us around, and we were like all, you know, in the back seat, like the kids.
Taking a field trip?
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's awesome. We actually do have one person that requested to speak. Friend of the show, Studio Pyman. How are you?
GM, GM. Hello, hello. Friend.
I can't hear. I gotta turn on my
Mumbot is awesome.
Mumbot can't hear you. No,
that's okay. We'll relay the message. No, I just came up. I saw that two of my very, very lovely friends are up here, and just wanted to come and give my support. Each of them have their own unique, amazing talents, and the story that is behind the art is really amazing to me. I had a chance to, well, I mean, Mumbot, everybody knows I've been known each other since Clubhouse days, and yeah, congrats again on that launch we had. You know, the spaces for them to promote as much as possible with the Grateful Ape show and with the Collector's Corner. That was an epic launch. I'm actually talking with Mina, who is behind the Axiom Spaces team, and to do perhaps curate the next space grails. And we've been talking about ordinals, to be honest. So, yeah, so Mumbot, you need to get on ordinals if you haven't inscribed yet. That's one thing I want to congratulate Mumbot again for, that amazing accomplishment. She deserves every win that she gets. She works hard. She's been a big supporter of other artists in the community, and I'm really honored to call her a friend. So, and then I want to give my friend Neuro. Nick is an amazing artist and brother that I met. Luckily, he's from the Bay Area. So for the longest time, I've been looking for a bigger Web3 community in San Francisco. And when I came across and met Nick a few months ago in San Francisco, I felt like we were long lost brothers. He's an amazing guy, and it's just so welcoming and so kind. And what he's doing with his project and the Cypherpunk Labs, they're just like, you know, they're just state of the art. And what I love about them is that the whole, like, you know, ethos of ordinals is about collaboration rather than competition, which we've talked about in this Web3. However, it's still out there. The competition factor is still there. I like to see people win that deserve it, and I definitely look forward to empowering Neuro and his project for sure. He deserves as much eyeballs and as much success as possible because he wants to give back. You know, that's the ethos that the Ordinals have, and the Cypherpunks Lab, and the Neuro Realm. And correct me if I'm wrong, brother, but that's what I have sort of picked up from you know, the beautiful time that we got to spend together so far. And, you know, and I look forward to, yeah, just seeing him succeed. He has a big plans for this project. So I'm just super excited that Bell, you had them on today. I had to jump out of my meeting and I'm like, am I late to this space? I want to support my friends. So yeah, I'm glad I made it. Much love to you guys, and success.
Thank you. Thank you for coming up and talking about it. And yes, I love having both of you on. I think that, you know, I'm a big fan of what both of you have built and what both of you are building. So it makes me happy. Mumbot, did you hear any of that?
Yeah, it's okay, just cool. Lag. It was super laggy for me for some reason.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you were at least able to hear that. I'll give you both an opportunity. Yeah, I'll give you both an opportunity to reply.
Thank you.
Love you all. Seriously. There's so many cool people here. Oh, I'm hearing an echo, so I'll stop talking.
We're trying to be like super ahead of the times and live streaming and doing spaces, and you know, we're getting there. We're getting there slowly.
Hold on, let me put my Apple Vision Pros on so I'm ahead.
Oh, just wait until next week when I try to link up YouTube along with it. We'll see how that works.
That's right. I'm excited about next week too. Yeah,
we'll
talk about it another time. But yeah, this is about Neuro and Mombat, and I'm just so glad that I had a chance to come in and give them my flowers. Well deserved. And I see a whole bunch of friends in the audience, like Troy, who's an amazing supporter and builder in the community, and Vibe God, and you know, I see Nidia and others. I don't want to take too much space, but yeah, I really appreciate you, Belle. You always have these amazing conversations, and you're so supportive of artists, and it was honestly a highlight to meet you in person at the Rock Radio House Mansion, whatever they called it, at that event. And yeah, much love to you, and I look forward to next week with you and Lawrence and Vincent D'Onofrio also. Yeah,
it'll be great. I love you having, like, being on the show and your support, always. I appreciate you. Neuro, let's talk about you, and let's get ready to give away these whitelists. I'm super excited. If there's anything that we haven't already touched upon in the project, like, you know, happy to give you some time to talk about it right now. I really want people to understand what your vision is behind it and what they can look forward to it, etc. And then let's pick the people.
Awesome. Yeah. So I think, you know, in simple, I think what we're trying to do is, like I was mentioning, that I, you know, I think this term patient is, it can be helpful, but it can be really problematic. So the goal of the neuro realm is to make everybody into like a neuropunk, you know, and that could mean if you're totally healthy, that, you know, which is amazing. I mean, we all go through tough times in life. That's just part of being human. But the idea is that, you know, you can always be a badass, I think, through art. And there's this kind of beautiful thing that, you know, that we're creating, where you just have to wear a cap, and wherever your brain is at, even if you feel you're broken or things are not right, whatever, you can make incredible art, you know, from your brain just by wearing this cap, right? And just by being beautifully, authentically who you are. And that is what the neuro realm, like, at its core is about. And so anybody who is, you know, in the neuro realm and is kind of you know, a collector or just a community member, that's going to be an opportunity for you if you're in the neuron community, and you know, to be able to have a chance to participate in these events where, you know, we'll do painting, where we do brain recording, so you can have your own, you know, your brain recorded, either, you know, at a live event where, you know, if you're able to come in person, or, you know, we are working on a more affordable or a headset, which, you know, aspirationally I would like to include for anyone who, you know, does collect the art, but that, you know, is something we're working towards. So the big idea is that, you know, being a part of a community that can truly, like, just channel your own mind, your brain as it is, as a starting point to make really cool art, and to be part of a community that is trying to explore, you know, the mind, the brain, reality through art. So that's what the neural realm is all about.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Look, I am looking through the comments right now. Actually, I should give another second. If anybody wants to update and add any new comments on here, comment on why you want to join the Neuro Realm. And we're going to be picking three people. I'm going to do the first one. And I'm going to pick Poor 696 that wrote community, which is exactly what you just talked about.
Love it.
Mumbat, how about you?
I'm still reading comments.
Okay.
I like NFT Mama's comment, neuro authentically who you are.
Oh, that's cute. Yes.
Beautiful. I love it. I mean, this, yeah, it's amazing. Spirit Zero, I think the one's mind is everything, key the bridge of the way. That's cool. Yeah. I think that we all, the mind can do incredible things that we don't have any idea about. So I like that one.
That is really cool. All right. Well, on that, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. We do this show every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every single week we have on new creators and artists and founders, et cetera, on the show. I like to dig into what makes you you and what makes you different and why you do the things that you do, you know? So every time these conversations, in my opinion, are different and deep. And that's exactly the way that I like it. If this is your first time joining us, I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. Seriously, you could have been anywhere else and you chose to be with us. Mumbat, I'm going to give you the last word. And then Neuro, thank you for showing up today. Anything you want to tell us on your last words?
My last words are follow everybody here, especially follow Belle and Neuro. They're awesome.
Yeah, last words are Belle and Mumbat are total badasses, and you know, definitely keep following them. Thank you so much, Belle, for putting this together and inviting me on here. That was exactly the spirit. It's collaboration, healthy, fun competition, like a sports type of competition. But I think we all, you know, crypto and Bitcoin NFTs is still a very small thing in the grand scheme of things. And I think we all rise together. So I think anything that interested people who heard this, like, don't be intimidated at all. Just reach out. You know, I think people who are creating cool stuff, I think are just really very excited to do cool things with people that care. So excited to, yeah, to with both you, Belle and Mumbat, and anybody else who wants to just vibe on making cool things. Looking forward to that.
I love that. All right, guys. See you next week. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. If you didn't know, now you know. See you, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.